Hi, everybody. This is the All Things That Go Bump in the Night podcast, and I am your host, Kelly. I hope you all are staying safe out there. I know there's been an uptick in COVID cases, and I know our town is starting to get pretty bad again. So I really hope you all are staying really, really safe and are doing well. This week, I'm not going to be doing any research or anything like that. It's kind of just to go over the paranormal investigation that I got to do earlier this month that I'm beyond excited about. So without further ado, let's get started. So I didn't really get enough time, like I wasn't able to do any research for anything. So this topic is just kind of to go over the paranormal investigation that I got to do last week? The 10th. The 10th. A little bit of backstory. I know I had posted or I had mentioned in one of my last episodes that I was accepted into a paranormal investigation team here in my hometown, and I was finally trying to work around like my partner's work schedule, my work schedule, my weekend visitations. So I'm not going to be investigating as much as everybody else in the group that is investigating, but they're an amazing team. They're working around my crazy, crazy schedule. And I was finally able to join their second to last investigation. Yeah, because they have investigations pretty much every weekend. So I got to join on their last one, second to last one, and we were able to go to this cemetery. And I know in our very first episode of the podcast, we discussed Greenwood Cemetery, which is also known as Thousand Step Cemetery. We went there in September of last year. Me, my partner, and my old co-host, Mouse. And we basically went to just kind of take photos and stuff. And it was my first time actually going to these thousand steps. They're not actually a thousand steps. I think it's like 20 steps. But we had a lot of weird things happen when we were there. I saw somebody peering out from behind a headstone. And it was just this really uncomfortable feeling while we were there. And I remember the night that we went was really momentous because the woods that surround the cemetery are known for occultism, and it was probably not a smart idea for us to go the night that we went, but we went on the first full moon to land on Friday the 13th in like, I think it was 10 years. And that's pretty significant for occultists. And you know, we went in the middle of the night. You're not supposed to be there at night at all. But the steps to get up there is right off of the road. So we parked like a mile up and we walked down there and we were able to climb these steps. So while we were taking photos, I had never been to the front of the mausoleum. So it's this big, huge mausoleum that was built in the early 1900s. When Spokane was being, I don't want to say built, but kind of built. Basically, settlers were coming, and the Elk Lodge are the ones that decided to build this cemetery. And they built this mausoleum for their members. And it's just kind of, it's really small. It's only, I think, 6 feet by 6 feet. And since I had never been there before, I was like, I'm going to go look at the front of it. But every step that I took, you know, Mouse hung back with Eric and I just, every step that I took to get to the front of it, it was like I kept hearing these voices and they would get louder and louder and louder. And by the time I actually stepped in front of it, I didn't even actually get from the side. I didn't even step to the front of it. I just kind of peered around it. But I heard these voices were like screaming in the clearing around us. And at that point, I was like, okay, it's time to go. We need to go. So we booked it back down there and we got some really interesting photos. They're up on the Facebook page. We actually have one photo with what looks like a person wearing a cloak standing at the very top of the stairs, and it's kind of like they're crouching over at us, and it was really, really uncomfortable. But we were supposed to go back and get more photos during the day, and we just never did. So I was very excited when the paranormal team were like, this is where we're going to be investigating. And I was like, oh yes, awesome. So it started with seven of us. There were seven people in the group there. And then we had an eighth person meet us kind of towards the end. And we decided to split off into two separate groups. So we had one group of three. The cemetery is kind of, there's different levels to the cemetery. So the group of three ended up going to the very top. We stayed at the bottom, and then we were going to kind of meet in the middle, which was where the 1,000 steps were. So I stayed with the leader of the group, the woman in charge of it, her friend, and then there was another girl she was a new member as well. So the four of us were together, and we had these really cool cameras. We had an SLS camera, which is a full spectrum camera. It sees in ultraviolet and UVA and UVB light, as well as regular light. And so we had that. The leader of the group was holding that. And then I had this box called the Eddy. So the Eddy box is this really, really cool tool. And it's basically an EMF detector, a vibrational detector, and a thermometer. And the really cool thing about it is it's awesome because if you are experiencing paranormal activity, you know, the EMF detector is going to spike, which is electromagnetic fields. It's a naturally occurring field of energy. And a lot of household appliances, they can emit high levels. But the problem with EMF is if it's coming from your electronic devices, say you've got really bad wiring in your house, old wiring, they emit a lot of EMF, electromagnetic fields. And the problem with that is that it can have symptoms of hallucinations. It can make you physically ill. So it's really handy to have one of those for that reason, but also because it's believed that when a spirit is manifesting, it tends to also emit high levels of EMF. So where we were at, there was no electricity. And, you know, we get a base reading. And the Eddy detector, basically, Eddy box, was basically set at zero. It did not spike anywhere at all. So we were able to prove that if that detector went off, it's not being caused from power lines or transformers or household appliances, you know, things like that. So it was just really cool. And then it's also believed that when a spirit is manifesting, it also tends to suck the energy out of the air, which can cause the temperature to drop dramatically. And it's also believed that if it's a human spirit, if it's something that's negative and inhuman, like a demon, it is believed that the temperature will actually spike. So it'll start getting hot. Sorry, my dryer. So I got to hold this nifty tool. And when I got there, it was 58 degrees, I want to say. It was starting to get pretty cold. It was like 7 o'clock when I got there. No, it was about six. And we didn't get started till seven. So the other girl ended up also having an external, an EMF detector that was just the EMF detector. It didn't have any other features to it at all. And we started out in the unendowed section of the cemetery. So the unendowed section is this, it's basically where the poor people would be buried who could not afford to have, you know, a grave or a headstone. And there were some graves that did have headstones, and we found out that that was because sometimes families were able to save up eventually down the road and be able to buy a headstone for them. But there were a lot of unmarked graves that were just kind of, they had these little wooden fences surrounding each grave, or crosses, or, you know, other little tiny defining things that anybody could make and put around their loved ones' graves. And, oh my gosh, I have a hair sticking up. So we went up to that section, and the woman in charge was telling me that there's a woman up there. I cannot for the life of me remember the woman's name who's buried up there, but she basically was this poor woman, and she got into a relationship with this man. This was probably, I want to say, 1918. And she basically got into this relationship with this man who told her, you know, that he was this rich person. He had all of this money. They were either engaged or they did get married before she found out that he actually lied about who he was. He had no money or anything. And so they were getting divorced, which is, I believe that was one of the only reasons you could get divorced back in those days, because you had to be able to provide for your wife. And if you were to enter into a relationship and lie and say that you could support her, and you find out that, you know, uh-oh, what happened to my tablet? Sorry, my tablet, like, shut off or restarted. Oh, come on. Come on, go live. Okay, Nate, I need you to put your foot back. So basically they were getting divorced, and she ended up dying, and they buried her over in the unendowed section of the cemetery. And I don't know what exactly happened, but he ended up dying and burying her, or burying him next to her. And so up in that section, it's believed that she's one of the spirits that's haunting that part of the cemetery. So we got up there, and because this is the unendowed section, there's no lights, there's no nothing up there. And it's kind of up into the hills a little bit, so you can just barely see the road from where we were at. And you had to really strain to, and the only reason why you could tell it was the road was because you could see the headlights going. And the only way to get up there was this little dirt road, and it's in the fully fenced section of it, so no cars or anybody could get up there unless you came in through the front gate. And the only way you could do that was because obviously it was closed at that time. They close it, they lock the gates at night because they're, you know, it's a cemetery in an area full of occultism. So we were up there, and immediately I started not feeling very comfortable. And I thought, well, you know, we are completely surrounded in pitch black darkness. And the eddy kind of started to go off a little bit, not too much here and there, but the only time it really did was when I was standing next to the other girl who had the small EMF detector. And hers was going off like crazy. So we're kind of doing our own thing. I kept hearing footsteps, and even though I, you know, my team was next to me, we all had little flashlights, and I ended up, there was something deeper into the tree line that I couldn't quite see. I deal with night blindness, and so I really can't see in the dark. I can't make out shapes. I can't see at all. It's a problem when I'm driving. And so we're over there, and I can just, I'm using my flashlight, and I'm trying to see through the tree line because there was a noise that I had heard. And, you know, I could just barely make out a headstone, but there was a darkness surrounding it. And I was like, you know, I don't know if that's a tree or what. So I was kind of just trying to focus my flashlight on it. And one of the rules with the team was, unless you have permission, you do not go off on your own. You do not, if you hear something, you do not go and investigate it on your own. You know, they like to have a buddy system for a reason. So I'm standing there and I'm trying really hard to see, but my flashlight was really weak. It was just a very cheapy flashlight that also had like a rape whistle attached to it and just really, really weak. So it was not penetrating deep into the tree line, hardly at all. And so I had made a comment to the second in command, and she came to stand with me, and she ended up having a mag light. So we're shining it over into the tree line, and I still can't make out what this dark thing is that I'm looking at. And as we're standing there looking, all of a sudden the light goes out. And I'm thinking, oh, she turned away to go do something. And I'm just standing there holding my flashlight, trying to figure it out while the other two people are doing their thing. And no, it was the lady's flashlight that was still on. Mine was shut off, which was really interesting because it had a push button light. And so when I was holding it, I was holding it back a little bit further, like kind of in the middle of the flashlight. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm trying to turn the flashlight around, trying to find the button, and it never once did it again. You know, we could easily say that maybe it was a flashlight malfunction, but with everything else that happened up in the unendowed section, it was just really, really weird. So we're standing there, and I'm telling the lady in charge, I was like, something doesn't feel right. And she knows that I'm kind of sensitive. I can only tell whether something is near me or not and whether it's good or bad, but other than that, I don't claim to be a psychic. I don't claim any of that. And so she trusts me when I say, you know, something's not right. And so I'm standing there and I'm facing ahead of us down the dirt road towards the lower section of the cemetery and the road. And I'm standing there, and at this point, the EMF detector is going off like crazy. We're standing kind of in a circle with our backs to each other because it felt like something was circling us. And, you know, I was not the only one feeling things. But as I'm standing there, I'm like, something is over there. What am I seeing? And it looked like somebody continuously stepping in and then stepping out of the shadows. And it was like a silvery, filmy leg. And it literally looked like a fog just going out and then back in the shape of a leg and a foot. And so I was kind of making comments about that. And we never figured out what it was. We ended up hopping back into our vehicles. Me and the new girl rode in my car. And then the lady in charge and her second in command were in the car in front of us. And we were like, okay, we're going to go to the Civil War section, which I didn't even know our cemetery had a Civil War section. And we get down there, and it's in the main part of the cemetery where, you know, anybody could go to during the day. I just didn't know that's what that was. And so we get down there and I'm telling the lady in charge about what I was seeing. And she was like, I saw the same thing when we were in the truck on our way down, but I thought it was your guys' headlights or something. And I was like, I don't think my headlights would cause that type of motion, but I mean, it's possible. So we're down there. We're down at the Civil War section and we're kind of setting up and I have my back to the Civil War section. I'm facing the road where the other three members were and they were facing me. And we're trying to get the SLS set up. We're trying to get the Facebook Live because we Facebook Lived the entire thing. And we're trying to get everything just all set up for this next section. And all of a sudden, it felt like something came up on me and was like breathing on my neck. And I turned around so fast and obviously nothing was there. And I got like massive shivers. The temperature dropped 2 full degrees and then went back up as it, you know, obviously it was getting cold. It was getting later, but the fact that it went right back after my shivering stopped was really weird. And I'm standing there and I'm facing into the tree line and something was just telling me we need to go deeper into the tree line. And so I told the lady in charge that I was like, something is telling me we need to go over there. I don't know what, but we need to go over there. And she was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. But then the walkie-talkie went off and the other team were like, we're not getting anything up here. So we're like, okay, we'll just come back to this section. And so we're like, okay, we're going to meet in the middle. We'll do the 1,000 steps and the mausoleum and a little girl named Lily's grave. So we did Lily's grave and then we were going to come back down to the Civil War section. So we meet everybody up there. We are actually there before everybody else. And where we're at was right in the front of the mausoleum. So, you know, right behind it are those stairs and they go right down onto the road. Stop moving that, please. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the new girl about how there were so many stuffed animals on all of the graves. We counted 18, 19, I think it was 19 stuffed animals just all over multiple graves in this section. So we're thinking it's children. So her and I are talking and I see flashlights coming up behind the mausoleum on the bushes. And so I tell the lady in charge, I was like, hey, I think somebody's coming up here. And I was like, I see flashlights. And the new girl's like, yeah, I saw that too. And I was like, is it okay if we go down and look? And she's like, are you comfortable doing that? You know, we have dealt with people coming up during our investigations before and we just shout, you know, security's with us or security's coming and it tends to scare them away. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't see a problem. We're here with a group of people. I don't think anybody's going to do anything. And I have pepper spray on me anyways. I keep pepper spray on my key ring. So I was like, you know, I don't think this is a paranormal thing. I think this is a person, probably teenagers, trying to cause problems. So we're walking over to the mausoleum while they're setting up again, waiting for the rest of the team. And we get halfway to the mausoleum and all of a sudden her EMF detector is going off. Mine is going off. Mine was really quiet. Like I didn't even know it made noise, honestly, until this happened. It started like beeping really, really loud. The vibration was going off. The temperature had dropped six degrees. I think it was six. Don't quote me on that. But it dropped a significant amount and the EMF spiked all the way to six. That's where six came from. What was the temperature? I don't remember the temperature, but everything on my device was going off, and that was pretty interesting. And so we get to the front, or to the back of the mausoleum, and we're not seeing anybody. So just to be safe, you know, I yell out, "Hey, we are here with security. You better go. You don't want to get arrested." But we didn't hear anybody, you know, where the steps are. It's a lot of brush, a lot of bushes. You know, you would hear somebody coming up if there was anybody over there. Lots of, you know, trees rustling and stuff like that. So we go back to the front, and we ended up deciding to check on these stuffed animals because we're like, there's a lot of stuffed animals. I've never seen so many stuffed animals over here. Is this like a children's section? Nope. No children were at any of these graves that had all these stuffed animals. And these were brand new stuffed animals. So we just thought that was really weird. So the team comes and we're investigating, and we decide to go to the back of the mausoleum and do an EVP session. We used, there's a thing called the flashlight trick. It's not really a trick, but you use a mag light that has LEDs. And you basically use the flashlight to communicate with whatever is there. If there's a spirit, for yes or no answers, it could be, you know, turn the flashlight off, turn it back on, you know, those types of things. And then we also had a spirit box and this really nifty app called Necrophone, where it's basically the same thing. It sweeps through radio frequencies. That's what a spirit box is. It's white noise. So it cycles through a bunch of different radio stations, and spirits are known to be able to speak through those radio waves, and you can actually hear them audibly. Whereas with an EVP session, you use a voice activated recorder, and you basically ask questions, but then you have to play it back and actually listen in order to get responses. And so a spirit box is really nice because you're hearing it in real time without having to play it back right then and there. So we're standing there, and we're all facing the back of the mausoleum, so our backs are to the road. And I started to not feel really well. I started getting this weird pain in my ribs and getting really, really nauseous. And I told the investigator, the lady in charge, and she was like, you know, that could be the spirits, but if it's too much for you, you know, you can go sit in the car and sit this one out. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'm okay. And it ended up, you know, being fine. But we had a lot of responses. My Eddie box actually ended up dying, even though it was a brand new battery. It ended up dying halfway through the EMF or EVP session. And so the lady in charge ended up giving me the SLS camera to hold. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to watch it, you know, what everybody's doing. But then it felt like somebody was standing behind me again. So the rest of the time I literally spent with my back to everybody facing these steps, and I feel like there was one point where I thought I saw somebody peeking through the brush up towards us, but I didn't say anything because I couldn't be sure, but just a lot of really, really weird responses that we experienced up there. The SLS camera ended up dying on me again, facing the road, and that was also a brand new battery. The batteries are supposed to last for 6 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours, and it didn't last more than an hour before it died. And then she handed me the digital camera to take photos. That died on me. So that was just really, really weird. It's believed that if a spirit is trying to manifest, you know, it's going to suck electricity, energy from whatever it can find. And, you know, this was during a time where we're getting a ton of really compelling responses. We're getting the flashlight turning off on demand. We're getting sounds. We're getting EVPs. We're getting, responses on the spirit box. You know, just it was a very active part of our investigation. So we ended up finishing up there and we went over towards Lily's grave. So Lily was a 3-year-old girl who had passed away, and she's kind of up towards the thousand step section as well. So it was literally like maybe a 5-minute walk up to her grave. And that was kind of just sadness. Lily is said to, if she likes her grave a certain way, and if it's not the way that she likes it, if it's not cleaned the way that she likes it, she will let the maintenance men know. And so one of the guys that's in our group, he tends to go during the day and do a lot of investigations by himself. And that's basically, I guess he goes to Lily's grave very often and talks to her. So we didn't really get too much up there. Like I said, it was just really intense sadness. But towards the end, you know, we asked if she was annoyed with us asking her all of these questions, and the flashlight at that point then turned off. So we were like, okay, we're gonna leave you alone, you know, have a good night. So then we went back down to the Civil War section. So I was super excited to go back down there. Unfortunately, I didn't feel anything. I felt just a tiny bit like we weren't alone, but it was not like that intense feeling I had before where I was like, we need to go this way. I didn't feel that at all. But we were able to use this really cool device. It's a Kinect connected to a tablet. So what the Kinect does is it actually maps for bodies, obviously, because we use it for the Xbox and stuff, for Just Dance and other games like that. But they've been able to modify them to be able to show us what it's seeing. It sends out a bunch of dots there and it maps whatever it sees. So we're standing there and we're not getting anything for quite a while. And then all of a sudden this figure, they show up as stick figures. So even if he were to turn the Kinect on us, it would show us as stick figures. But he had it facing these two graves because I guess he said that he goes down there very often with it, and there's these two headstones, these two specific graves where he constantly maps these figures. So that's kind of where we went. And we're standing there and nothing's happening, and he's like, I don't know what's going on. Normally they're always willing to show themselves to me. Like they're always, you know, right there. And then all of a sudden you see this figure laying like this on his side on the ground. And so that was just really, really cool to see, you know. And then we had another figure show up and it kind of sat crouched like this on its headstone. So I thought that was really, really nifty. But other than that, we really didn't get anything over in the Civil War section. So that was kind of disappointing. We got invited by the woman who kind of is the caretaker at night. She basically patrols and makes sure that nobody is on the property. She makes sure that all of the buildings are shut and all windows are closed. And she ended up asking if we wanted to investigate the mausoleum. So the mausoleum is exactly what it sounds like. There are some caskets that are stored there, but it's mainly urns. And the other girl ended up leaving, so she gave me her EMF detector, so I was kind of holding that. So we ended the night over in there. So I've actually been in the mausoleum before. When my grandmother passed away, we had her memorial service in the mausoleum. So I knew exactly where we were at. And, you know, I turned on the EMF detector before we even stepped inside just because I wanted to get a really good feel for everything. Literally, the minute we stepped inside, the EMF detector, it maybe shut off 10 times the entire time that I was in there. The rest of the time, it was lighting up like fully, as lit as it could go, like full blown, tons of EMF. And that's kind of where I started to do the Facebook Live because I'm a moderator for the team. But I, with it being my first investigation, I didn't really know anybody. I was feeling really shy, you know. So at that point, I was like, okay, I think I'm comfortable enough to do my own live. So I started recording in there, and it was an eerie feeling. It wasn't like a dangerous feeling, but the lady in charge said, you know, she does not like going in there at night by herself. It's a very uncomfortable feeling when you're in there alone with all of the lights off, and I get that 100%. I will say at one point, I did end up turning the recording off because I thought maybe it was my phone that was causing the EMF to spike. But at the end of the investigation, we decided to do another spirit box session in the worship room. And I ended up sitting on a pew all by myself, and I actually sat it down and I stepped back. So I wasn't even anywhere near the device. And so there was no way my phone could have been what was setting it off. And another weird thing that I had happen while we were there was we kind of separated to do our own little thing while we were in there. And I was looking at some urns at the very entrance of the mausoleum. So you walk in, and there's these two separate rooms that are wide open, and each room has urns, and then you walk past that and it's the worship room, and then there's two other doors that go towards the crypts is what they call them. So I was in the first room on the right, and I was kind of just getting a feel for the place, seeing, you know, looking at different graves or urns, you know, to get a feel of who all was being interned there basically. And I ended up lifting the, I don't know why, but I ended up lifting the EMF detector and it started to get really loud. And then I lifted it up even higher to another urn that was right above it, and it started screaming at me. Like, it was really loud beeping that I had not heard it do all night. And then I would lower it and it would quiet, but then I would lower it again and it would be silent. So it was just really, really weird. And then as soon as I stepped out and gave the detector back to the lady, stopped. Just all of a sudden stopped. So, I mean, it was really interesting. It was really fun. I had a really good time. I am really disappointed that they're investigating Halloween. There's a really big investigation coming up on Halloween. I can't say where it's at. All I know is it's a place that two places that I've always wanted to go, and I know exactly where they're at, but you know, I'm not going to be able to because my partner's going to be out of town for work and I'm having surgery, so I'm going to be recovering. And it disappoints me so much because it's a place that I have always wanted to go, and two places I've always wanted to go that I never was able to get the chance to. So, I'm just really thankful. My team seems very welcoming. I do not get any bad feelings from them at all. My gut is telling me they're very good people. And I'm very fortunate because it was all kind of a chance thing. I asked somebody in the group, one of the men had posted that he was part of a paranormal team based here in my hometown. And I was like, just joking. And I said, hey, are you guys looking for a new member? And he was like, message this person and like this page and then, you know, talk to her. And it was the leader of the group. And so I liked the Facebook page and I ended up messaging her. And she was like, what is your experience with the paranormal? And so I kind of went off and told her about my childhood, you know, the abandoned house that we frequented a lot when I was a teenager, you know, the haunted house that I lived in when I was growing up, the abandoned hospital that I would play hide and seek tag in with my family. Like, you know, I have all of these experiences. And she was like, okay, we're going to have you join a workshop and, but you don't actually have to do it because I know that you have to work, but we know we want you on the team. And so that was really, really cool and made me feel really happy that she trusts me and has faith that, you know, I know what I'm doing. I just need kind of that extra, because I've never been a part of an actual paranormal team. It's just been my family and I, like, hey, I think this place is haunted. You know, it's never been us, hey, can you show us a sign of your presence? Hey, you know, can you speak into this recorder? You know, nothing like that. So it's very exciting for me. I'm beyond excited for it. And I'm very thankful, like I said, that they're willing to, you know, accept me into their group and work with me, work with my crazy schedule that I have going on, and just kind of let me join in when I'm able to. You know, it's nice. But yeah, that was Greenwood Cemetery. My investigation that I did on the 10th. Anybody have any questions? I see you're in here, Mickey. I'll probably be messaging you after this, just so you know. I can answer any questions, though, about anything about what I had experienced or the equipment that we used, you know, or just in general questions. All right, everybody. This is where I'm going to end it here. Like I said at the beginning, I hope you all are staying safe. Make sure you're practicing good hand washing, wear your masks, practice good social distancing. And with it being cold and flu season now, make sure you're getting your flu shots. We need to work together to protect our most vulnerable, and not just from COVID, but from the flu as well. I hope you all have an amazing Halloween, and I will be seeing you here soon.